Mr. Wayne Dykus was a Navy chief. He sat right here, one of these sections, every Sunday. Wayne got sick. It's one of our deacons we ordained. We had a little service out at NAS. They buried him. And on his crypt, you know, they always ask, what do you want to put on that marker? Well, certainly the date of birth and death. His daughter sent a picture to me this week and said, Pastor, we just finished Daddy's burial plot. Here's what we put on his marker. Because this is what he said more than anything. I love my church. And so on his gravestone, that marker, loved his church. Man, I'm telling you, that stirred this preacher's heart. When they bury you, they could put a lot of things on your grave marker. I hope one of the things that might be considered is that you loved your church, that you cared for it. Now, they may not etch that in stone, but I'm praying God would etch it on your heart. I love my church. So, preacher, I'm not sure that, well, Jesus loved the church, gave himself for it, amen? So if he loved his church, then we ought to love the church. And so we come today to this first of our five-week emphasis on the things that we love. And today is I love my church. Well, I'm thankful for these families that have put together these videos. I noticed that they cut old Jeremy Wyatt out of that video. He must have been out of town. I don't know. Where was Jeremy that day? I guess he and Riley still doing all right, aren't they? They better be. He's the chairman of our Vision 25 team. Now, he's probably traveling, not able to be in that video, and they mentioned him. I'm grateful for families that we've seen. But some of you, matter of fact, the most of you, would be like my family when we came here. But now, we could put three generations on that screen. But most of you are one group because you've moved here. You don't have family that here. Some of you do and others don't, but we become family, amen? That's what the church is. It is koinonia. So this morning, I want to talk about loving your church. Now, we love the church as a whole. We talk about the church, universal. That's all of God's people meeting around the world today. Then we talk about the local church, and that's how the scriptures know the church, are these local bodies that meet together. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to rise, and as you do, I'm going to ask you to read one verse of Scripture with me from Acts 20 and verse 28. It'll come up on the screen in a moment, and we're going to read out loud. Now, get this in your mind. Paul is getting ready, going back after one of his missionary trips, and he's preached. As a matter of fact, when you read the 20th chapter, and they gathered together on the first day of the week when they were in Troas. Now, if you think I preach long, you ought to have been there with Paul. The Bible says he preached all night, and one of the young men sitting in the windowsill fell asleep, and he fell out and broke his neck and died. And Paul went and prayed over him, and God raised him up. And then it says they went on and they preached till daylight. So no more complaining. God may just throw you out of the pew and kill you right there, all right? Then he leaves there and he goes to Ephesus. And he doesn't want to stop at Ephesus, but he does. And he doesn't go into town. He just brings the leadership, the elders of the church out. And he has a little talk with the elders of the church. And he begins to tell them. He said, you know, I've been there in verse 19 with all humility and with tears and with trials. It wasn't easy in Ephesus. And he said, the Holy Spirit's testifying through me. And then he gave them this one verse exhortation that I just want to pick up for a few minutes this morning. In Acts 20 And verse 28, let's read it out loud all together just now. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now look at that verse for a moment. Be on guard. The King James says, take heed. Take heed to the flock, to all the sheep that the Holy Spirit has made you. Episcopus is the word. We get the word episkopos. The word Episcopalian comes right out of this verse. Scopus, to look, epi, over. You see over. That's what a pastor does. He's an overseer. He's an episkopos. He's drawn the elders out, the leaders, the overseers, the pastors and the deacons and the small group leaders. He's brought them. He said, you look over the church and shepherd. Here's the word, ekklesia. Otheos, the church of God. The word ekklesia usually meant the gathering of a Greek town council. Well, that's what the church is. We come together as the body of Christ, and we shepherd that group come together, and that group he purchased with his own blood. The church. One more thing I want you to read before you sit down. Here's a definition of the church. There are many of them, but I want you to see this one this week. We're going to look at this definition of the church. We are a covenant community of born-again believers empowered by Christ for the advancing of the kingdom through the discipling of nations. Now think about that with me. A covenant community, that means you've come together in covenant. You got to be born again to get in. If you're going to do the work, you got to be empowered by Christ. And we're here for one reason. It's not your agenda. It's not my agenda. It's for the advancing of the kingdom through the discipling of the nations. When Steve began to talk this morning about all those quarters that we're going to give, I'm here to tell you that when I direct whatever you give through this next 3 months, you're going to give quarters during the next quarter. It'll have something to do with discipling the nations. I'll begin to pray about it. Where can we invest in discipling the nations? The church. The church. Be on guard. Father, bless your church today. Add to your church. Save the lost and build your kingdom and expand the tent pegs of a place called Olive. I ask for your favor now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you be seated. I've got two simple points this morning, and I want you to see them coming right out of this Acts 20 and verse 28. Number one, I want to share with you that the people of the church are priceless. The people of the church are priceless. When you say the word church, one of two things come to mind. Many of you think of a building. I see that church or this church or that. And we often then will follow up and say, well, you know, the church is not a building, but it does have a locale where we come together. This is our meeting place, but this building is, of course, not the church. The church is the people that fill it. The church is you. And the church, the people of the church, are priceless. Look in Acts 20 and verse 28, to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. All the flock. You know, there's some sheep prettier than others. Some sheep that you want to shear. Some sheep you want to trade. Some sheep you want to eat. Amen? But he says, look out for all the flock. Now, he meant by that Jews and Gentiles. He meant by that all races, white sheep, black sheep. He meant by that all nationalities, Americans and Russians and Hispanics. Czechs and Germans and French and Canadians. Be on guard for all the flock. He meant both genders, men and women, that we come together in the church of the living God. All the flock. Listen to what Jesus said in John 10, 14, 15, and 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I laid down my life for the sheep. Now listen to this. I have other sheep. What? Yeah, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. He's talking to the Jews here. And Jesus said, I got some sheep that are non-Jewish. Aren't you glad that he did? That includes many of you. He said, I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock. There it is, one flock with one shepherd. It's Jew and Gentile. It's every nationality. It's every ethnicity. It's both genders. It's us come together. The flock is priceless because it was purchased with his own blood. Dear friend, the only way for you to get saved and be a part of the church of God is for you to understand you've been paid for. You've been bought with a price. Listen, I want to show you three verses of Scripture. Jot these down this morning. First of all, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. How do we get saved? It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus that he spilt and shed on Calvary. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his, what? Say that word, blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Friend, you can't get your sins forgiven by your own self. The only way you can get saved is by the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus. He laid down his life for you. Look up here in that glass. Man, when you see that glass and when you get down to the bottom, you'll find some red at the foot of that cross. You got to look close, but you'll see it. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus. It flowed down. He died for you. And then when we get to that grand old book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse number 9. We're all going there. And they sang a new song. Some of y'all never sing. You're going to sing one day. You are? Or you're not going? Amen. You ought to all be singing here. You shouldn't all be in the choir, but you ought to all be singing. When we get to the other side, you're going to sing with gusto like you've never sang before. And they sang a new song, and they were saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. You were slain and purchased for God with your blood. Men from every tribe, from every tongue and people and nation. There it is. The people of the church are priceless. All the flock, every Jew, every Gentile, every race, every nationality, every man, every woman, he brings us together. He gave the price for his church. Now, friend, can you take me to a place and tell me of a time when you got saved by the blood of the Lamb? Can you tell me this is where I trusted him? I got saved right here today. I gave my life to Christ. This is when I got saved. And the blood. Oh, the precious blood. You see, there's got to be a price that's paid for your sin. And you can't get good enough. You can't buy it. You can't give enough money. You can't change enough. The only ticket that buys your salvation is the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus. He laid down his life. You see, the people of God, the church of God, they are a priceless people. That's the greatest price ever paid. The life of Christ. Priceless. But now number two. Not only do we see in this text that the people of the church are priceless, we also see that the protection of the church is essential. Now, notice what he said to the leaders here in Ephesus. Be on guard, take heed, oversee, watch over, protect. Now hear me, church. We got to protect Olive. Amen. It is our duty that we protect the church. Now, what do we protect about it? We got security around here now. It just beats the, cameras. You can't hardly hiccup and they can't see you. We live in a world where security is needed, and we have to do that down in the preschool division, and families broken, and people that would try to come in and take a child when they shouldn't have the child. So don't complain down there now. If you don't have your beeper, you got to have it. We're just doing that to protect kids. Don't come complaining to me. Let them run off one of your grandchildren, one of your little ones. Getting in a divorce situation and people do odd things. There's security measures there. That's why we have security officers that come. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the church. It's not the bed, it's the people. And we secure this place. We secure this fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, we read these words. Listen to Acts 2, 41. So then those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They came together in that first church after Pentecost, and they protected some things. Seven items that I think we have to protect at a place called Olive. Here we are. Write these down. Get out your pencil and write these down. I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I said write these down. Seven things we must protect. Number one, we got to protect doctrine. Doctrine. They met together and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the inerrant, infallible word of God. We preach nothing else. We will not back off of it. What it says we must keep, we must have it rightly divided. And so if we're going to protect the church, we must protect its doctrine. Number one, at the end of this month on a Sunday night, the last Sunday of October, we'll have Discovering Olive, and we'll come and people will ask, what version of the Bible do you use, preacher? And they say, is this a Bible church? Yes, it is. That's why the pulpit's in the center and elevated, because everything emanates. You heard Brother Dave praying about teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. We must guard the doctrine of the church. Doesn't mean we don't disagree about some non-essentials and even about some things that are very close to us. We get to the area this day and age and Baptist life about Calvinism and predestination. There's a lot of great discussion that goes on there. We're normally talking about two sides of the same coin, but we all want to get out of balance, but we still got to guard the doctrine, okay? Not only do we guard doctrine, we guard the fellowship. You want to know why Olive's been here 120 years? I'm going to tell you why. Men. Men that love God and men that love the church more than they love their own opinion. You get in churches where men love their own opinion more than they love the truth of the Word of God and the fellowship of the church. You'll see a church not only divided, but dying. People ask me all the time, how's that church been thriving for over 120 years? It's because of men. I love the ladies in this church because they do the bulk of the work of that. But I'm telling you, men must lead the church. Those men must do it. At the end of your row today, there's some places for you to nominate deacons. They're not the only men that lead, but they're some of our great men that lead, and they serve. We have 60 active deacons. We rotate 20 on, 20 off every 3 years, and we'll be electing 20 more here this fall. And so those men come together, and they will give greater weight to the unity of fellowship than they will their own opinion. That's how they keep the church going. We must guard doctrine, guard fellowship. Number three, we guard the ordinances. You see right here in this text that they were baptizing and breaking bread when you read down through this text. Friend, there's only one way to be baptized, and that is to be immersed. Not sprinkled, not poured on, not when you're in the pediatric division. That's pedo-baptism. We don't baptize babies. We baptize people that are old enough to make a profession of faith in Christ, and we place them under the water. We guard the ordinance. I want to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized. I say this to you all the time. People ask me the number one question, when I die, can I be cremated? I said, maybe you can, but I can't. Don't cremate me. Come by that box and cry. I'm telling you, I want you to do it now. I want you to look me in the eye. And when you walk by there, I'm going to open one of them and look at you, all right? So, I can't find anything biblical, only one place in the Old Testament where pagan people burned their dead, and I'm not going there. But I don't make a doctrine out of that. But I want to be buried the way Jesus was buried. And I want to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized. That's my mantra, what I say to you all the time. The way they buried him, they cared for his body and they put it in the ground, then I want you to care for my body and put it in the ground. And when I'm baptized, I want to be baptized like Jesus was. He waded out into the water with John and they put him all the way under and all the way up. You've never been baptized after you've been saved. You ought to come today and get ready to do that. That's the only way we're going to do baptism here, because we guard the ordinances. We have the Lord's Supper. We'll do that the last Sunday of this month. And we're going to come together, and the Lord's Supper doesn't save you. It's not salvific. You don't get the grace of God through the bread and the cup. But we remember, we look back, and we thank God. We guard the ordinances. We guard the doctrine, we guard the fellowship, we guard the ordinances. Number four, we guard the unity. Guard the unity of the believers. We come together as one. We guard that unity. Make us one, Lord. God, make your people one. Jesus prayed for that my people might be one. We'd guard the unity of a place called Olive. Number next, we guard the generosity in verses 44 and 45. They believed and had all things in common, and they sold their property and possessions, and they shared them with anyone that might have need. We guard generosity. We don't keep and hoard, but we give, we give, we give. We're going to be a generous people. We guard that generosity. We must. Still more blessed to give than it is to receive. Jesus said that, and we must remember it. Number next is joy. Verse 46, day by day, continue one mind in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and smile this morning. Amen. Smile. Go ahead. Turn over there and smile. Tell them it's all right. It won't break their face. I talked to one of our veterinarians this week, and he can't be here today because he's gone to a conference, like preachers have conferences and doctors have conferences and city managers have, well, veterinarians have conferences. And he has gone to a veterinarian dermatology conference. True. I said, do y'all give dogs facelifts? He said, no, it's for itchy skin. Preacher, itchy skin. Said lots of animals have itchy skin. And so I said, there's a conference on that? On dogs with itchy skin? Yeah. I said, my soul. That's hard for me to believe. We laughed and chuckled about that. You know, it's good for people to laugh, isn't it? It is good to help you smile. Now, you may need to go to the veterinarian dermatologist next week if you mess your face up because you laughed in church today. All right? But now there's a difference in laughter and joy. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of deep sadness in my heart in the last 10 days. There's some hard things come in my life. It's been hard, but it hadn't stolen my joy. I can be sad and have joy. Amen. May not laugh as much, but I have deep joy, because joy is in my spirit. The church has got to guard doctrine and fellowship, ordinance, unity, generosity, joy. And lastly, you got to guard worship. The Word of God says in verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were praising God. They were worshiping. Amen. They're giving praise. Well, didn't this choir look good up here this morning, all these generations? Yeah, give them a hand. That's all right. Amen. Boy, they look grand. And they're giving praise, and you were helping them, and it was a good thing. You know, the church, I said to you in the beginning, and I'm coming to this today, because the church when we say it's not a building, but in some ways, the building is the symbol of the church. Because people look at it, and even when people walk in it, sometimes they act different than they do when they come to your house. They take it as a place that is given for a special gathering. But the church really is not the building. We know that the church is people. You've seen some of those people this morning. You've seen these families. You've heard Brother Dave. You've seen Steve. The church is you. If you want to touch the body of Christ, you just reach over and touch the person next to you. That's the body of Christ. It's who we are as people. I got one of our people that I wanted him to share his story with us this morning. Yesterday was Logan Cannon's birthday. He was 20 years old yesterday, and Logan's here today, and he's coming right now to help me. Many of you know Logan. Some of you do not. I visit with Logan from time to time, and if y'all will move that camera, he'll be able to get by. Yeah, you're going to have to scoot over. If he doesn't move, Logan, just run over him. It's all right. It's good, yeah. Logan is our friend, and we've been encouraging him, and he's been encouraging us. His mom's going to come hold his microphone because he has a little trouble hanging on to stuff, all right? Good. Hey, man, good to see you today. Amen. Why don't you just kind of cock around there a little bit more so they can get a good shot of you there. That's good. That's where they can see you. This is my friend Logan Cannon. He's part of Olive. He's part of the church. Good to see you got your Gator shirt on this morning, hadn't you? Yeah. Amen. I told you not to wear that. But when it's 38 to 10, you wear what you want to, don't you? Amen. That's what I thought. Yeah. Well, I want to ask you two or three questions this morning, son. So, yesterday, 20 years old, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, tell us, what happened to you?
Well, I was just with my friends at ROTC. We went to Whiting Park up there in Milton, in Blackwater. And me and my friend from Pace playing football and the natural athlete that I am, the competitor, we were throwing the football around and I said, so whoever drops the football has to dive in the water. And so he dropped the football the first time, he had to dive in the water. And then the next one that I dropped, and I was casually walking, and he told me, boy, you better get your butt over there and run. And so I was running and running, and the water was very deceiving. And so I dove, I didn't dive far enough, and I shattered the C4 on my spine. And changed my life forever.
Mm. So it was a turnover that got you in this trouble, just like Ole Miss, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. And just like Alabama against Ole Miss, that's the way that works. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Dropping a ball, and you dove in, and then shattered that, and now can you move your hands?
I can move my hands. I can.
Just keep that over for him.
I can do everything that the doctor said I couldn't do.
Mm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So now, tell me what God's taught you through this deal.
He's taught me a lot, and I've been through a lot of churches, and I've been through a lot, and if you read my Facebook post, that this weekend's probably one of the best weekends I've ever had. I woke up yesterday morning alive and healthy by the grace of God, and you know, I just watch the news sometimes, and I'm still more fortunate than other people have, and you know, I can't use my legs right now, but there are other people who still don't have the things that I have, and he's just taught me that. Just getting day by day.
Every day becomes special, doesn't it, Logan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell me how the church has helped you.
Well, I've been to a lot of churches. You know, I've lived in Pensacola most of my life, and then I lived in Virginia for a good chunk of my life, and I've been through a lot of churches, but there's something just special about all of that. That's touched my heart, touched my family's heart.
Amen. Well, we want you to know we love you. I pray often for you. And You told me something over at your house last time we visited. You said, "Preacher, I can't understand why people just, I don't even know, they'll come up and say, you inspire me." Remember, you told me that.
Yes, sir.
And the reason you do is because when I can just go up and down these steps and I can use my hands and I don't have to be in this chair and I can hold that mic like your mother and hold that mic, we sometimes think we couldn't do what you do. Now, if we got there, we'd probably find some grit, maybe, but we don't know. But because you keep on keeping on, your persistence encourages us. We want you to know it does.
Yes,
and
you
bless us. Yeah. Now, you're going to college. Are you still in school?
Yes, sir.
What are you taking?
Well, I want to be a math major so I can be a coach and go to and be a coach and be a history teacher. But right now I'm taking math.
Okay.
For some odd reason, I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I want to take. I don't remember taking math during my history classes at Pace.
Right. Well, you know, some of those people over at Pace, they throw, like Frank Lay, they throw some stuff at you. You just don't know. I mean, it's so you're at, are you at the junior college or West Florida?
I'm at PSC, sir.
Okay, PSC. And so you're starting through school, and you got a person that goes with you to school, I think.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How's that working out?
Well, I go with my nurses, and I know my mom wants to go with me, but I have to kick her out sometimes.
Okay.
And so,
sometimes it's a little easier without mom, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And she babies us too much, so
yes,
they have to push us, and that's good. When did Jesus save you, Logan?
He saved me around when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
I was saved up there, and I think you saved me when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. And you were baptized?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a phrase right here, okay? Never say those words again. That I saved you, okay? I know what you meant by that, but you tell people that my pastor shared with me that Jesus would save me, because he's the one that'll do it, all
yes,
right?
Sir.
Amen. And that's the way we say it. We want you to, amen. Hey, I appreciate you just taking a few minutes today. Is there anything in the world you just want to say to this church or say to these people that you've learned? Just anything you might want to tell them today.
Ooh.
I think I hit the brake here. I'm sorry. I was about to jump you out of that chair.
Thank you all for the van. And I just want to brag about God real quick because over a year now we've been praying about needing the things that I need for everyday life, like a van, a new power chair, and all that. And praying and being blessed for over a year now, We've got those things.
Amen.
We've got a van that takes me out because I don't like going home. I don't like just sitting home. I like going out. And I got my new power chair that makes me very independent. When I first got home from Shriners over a year ago, we got a local contracted company to put a handicap accessible shower in my house. And for some reason, that still makes my little sister use that shower. Just for some reason. For some reason, I don't know. We have two showers. She has that feel the need to stand up in mine for some reason.
Yeah, that, you know, that's the way sisters are. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And
kick her out of there, man.
I wish I could. Sometimes she kicks me around.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just very blessed, and my mom was raised a Pentecostal, but I've been blessed to be around more than one church.
Yes, sir.
And
Brownsville's been a big part of your life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And Salem Fields Community Church up in Virginia.
Yes, sir.
They still follow me, and They were also my family when my father.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to ask you. Last thing, your dad died.
Yes, sir.
And how long ago has that been now?
It's been
a little over 3 years.
About 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
So he has a heart attack and died.
Yes, sir.
You're okay then.
Yes, sir.
And then this comes to you.
Yes, sir.
And this lady standing next to you has been through a lot of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but she's had a lot of Jesus in her, a lot of grit,
yes,
to walk through the loss of her husband and then to walk through a tragedy with her son. And God gives us grace to walk through that. And he's the one we give glory to this day. Logan, I want you to know, man, I love you. Thank God for you for being a part of the church.
Thank you.
And we're for you. And we're here to help you any way that we can do it.
Yes, sir.
You believe me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God love you. Yes,
thanks,
sir. Amen. Amen. You can follow your mind. You just remain standing here. If you ever want to have just an encouraging afternoon, call over to the Cannon House and make you an appointment and go by and sit and talk for a little while. You'll be encouraged. That young man, 20 years old, is part of the bride of Christ, part of the church, because God gave his life for him. He's saved by the blood of the Lamb when he's 6 years old, a part of the koinonia, of the ecclesia of the church. Some of you stand right now in this room, having never trusted Jesus. And today you understand that the blood was shed for you and you need to respond and say, Lord, I receive you. You need to come when we sing this song. Some of you on I Love My Church Day ought to come join this church today. You've been saved, but you hadn't been baptized like we talked about. Then come and let's set a time. Just shake my hand. You're not going to have to stand up and talk like Logan did right here and speak out. We'll just go to a quiet place through that door and we'll nail that down. You need to come. It's your day. Come be a part. Well, what a great day it'd be for you to be a part of the church on I Love My Church Sunday. It's God's day. It's God's call. And when Brother John begins to sing, I'm going to ask you, out of that balcony, Dad, just reach over and take her hand. Come today. Mom, maybe by yourself. Just come. Teenager, single adult, whole family, that's good. Or just one somebody you need to come. You step out. A friend will come with you. Just ask them to. They'll be right here. Come just as you are. And God will do that work within you. John's singing. The Spirit of God's calling. You're coming.